2.
We're here with the scooters, here with the ACT Party leader, Rodney Hyde, who has been successful in gaining an inquiry into TVNZ. What is so wrong with TVNZ that an inquiry is needed rather than just, say, a vigorous financial review?
Well, that's what the inquiry is there to find out. But on the surface, there seems to be sort of some fundamental problems where they get the basics wrong. I mean, it's an extraordinary situation where in a board meeting, the CEO just walks out and quits. And having walked out and quit, he then stays on with the salary for 6 months. I mean, that's unprecedented in my experience. And then we've seen a contract with Susan Wood, whereby she gets paid, was it $450,000? Yeah, a bit of a public concern about that. So they go and negotiate, and they say, the negotiation is to say, well, we can't go any higher than $350,000. Now, Parliament passed law to make that not possible under Labor. And I can't understand how a organisation the size of TVNZ with an HR department can get it so fundamentally wrong. So you're sort of looking there and you're thinking, well, this is sort of odd behaviour. At the same time, we're seeing a slide in viewership.
But what I want to admit, sorry, what I mean is, what's the big difference between an inquiry and a financial review? Because for the financial reviews...
You asked me what about an inquiry first, and so let me cover why I wrote my letter. So, this is concerning. You then have the problem of the mixed objectives. So you have on the one hand that it's a commercial organisation, and then on the other, this public charter obligation, where the organisation can basically trade the two off. So they say, well, we can't put that show on because we're a commercial organisation, that's not commercial. And when you say, well, where's your commercial return? They say, well, we can't deliver a commercial return because we're a charter organisation. So I have a grave concern about that. I mean, to be up front, I believe TVNZ should be privatised, that there's no good reason for it to be held within the state. But I've got big concerns over the government, so too have the public, and there has been a complete failure of inquiry into what's going on. The representatives of all the shareholders in New Zealand, Michael Cohen and Steve Mahari, and of course they just want to keep a lid on it because the main cause is the board they've appointed and the conflicting objectives that they've set up for TVNZ.
Right, just
to go to why you have an inquiry rather than a financial review. There's a time and time again when you have a financial review, the first thing is that you only get the organisation itself in front of you, which isn't much help, because you want to go outside that and get some comment. So the committee will be of a mind to get people from outside. But more particularly in a financial review, you don't get the ministers in front of the committee. And of course, one of the interesting things is the ministers have made some quite strong statements about TVNZ in comparison to TV3, and an inquiry will give us an opportunity to call in Michael Cohen and Steve Mahari. And the other thing is that a financial review is only up till the financial or the last financial year. It can pick up issues of note that have happened in recent times. But time and time again, when I've attempted to do that in our select committee, I've been shut down because the chairman will rule that this is a financial review and that matter falls outside the period being investigated. So there was no way that you could actually be asked questions in a thorough way in a financial review. It's also the case that a financial review is typically over in an hour.
But are you concerned an inquiry regarding TVNZ may expose it to more media criticism from outside media and then run the risk of devaluing it, you know, taxpayers' dollars could be lost with a needless inquiry?
Well, I don't think just being held to account by Parliament in of itself exposes it to risk. Government-owned departments and organisations...
Yeah, but you've seen the way TV3 and the other media have picked on TVNZ in recent financial reviews. They run the cameras there, they run it as the lead item.
Well, I've seen TV3 and how the news media report the news, and of course it will be news that TVNZ comes before the select committee, of course. But it's one of the things that comes with being owned by the government, is that you are actually held to account by Parliament. By the way, I think that's a good reason for privatisation.
Well, how are you going to deal with your own, and, you know, because you don't believe the state has any role whatsoever in broadcasting?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right. You believe TVNZ has been...
No, you've got to be careful. Yeah. I mean, just be because you don't understand what I'm saying. There's no need to put words in my mouth.
Okay, right. Well, how will you overcome your inherent bias against TVNZ in the inquiry? How will you separate yourself?
Well, I'm not biased against TVNZ. What I'm doing is stating up front that from a policy, public policy point of view, it's my view that TVNZ should be privatised. That doesn't mean that I can't sit there and ask questions of it and hold the board to account, just like Michael Cullen and Mahari, who believe that it should remain in state ownership, can't actually hold them to account either. I mean, we do that all the time, particularly when you're in opposition. It's not our policies that are being implemented, it's the Labour Party's policies that are being implemented. What it is our job as opposition to contest those ideas, but more particularly to hold the ministers and to hold the government to account. And you do that through the Select Committee process, through Parliament, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay, you've said TVNZ should be taken out of the political arena and privatised.
Yeah.
That would put viewers in charge like they are at TV3, which has outperformed TVNZ without the benefit of millions of dollars in subsidy. How exactly has TVNZ outperformed TV3?
TV3 is beating them in the Auckland market. It's growing.
In one demographic?
Yes.
Well, that could be five people watching. You know, you understand Nielsen net ratings. That could be five people changing their view.
Oh, I think TV3 has put together better news. For sure, I think it's covered issues better than TVNZ. And I think it's on a good path to beat TVNZ. It's done so without the benefit of being owned by the government. It's done so without the benefit of taxpayer subsidy. And it's done so against the odds because it's not playing to a level playing field. And so it has outperformed TVNZ.
Okay, well,
and by the way, the thing that frustrates me is that I think TVNZ's got good journalists and good staff. The problem it's got is that it's political football, it's directionless, and it's demoralised. In fact, staff have come up to me and said, thank God someone's taken the trouble to inquire into what's going on here.
Are you worried that the board could be called into the beehive as they were over Judy Bailey's salary? You expressed some concern about that.
Yeah, because of course they can be called into the beehive. It's the beehive that puts them into their job. And again, that has to be a huge concern to New Zealand, that what you've got is a board that's appointed by the politicians of the day. When they made the screw-up over Judy Bailey's salary, and again, I don't know what a percentage should be paid. It's not my business to figure that out, but obviously the public were outraged, politicians get outraged. They haul the ball down to the beehive, the expectation running in the media that they'll all be fired. Then Hannah Clark, by dint of her magnificent powers, gives them some grace and they can survive. But the board, and therefore TVNZ right down to the cleaning lady, is under no doubt who is their boss. Cool. It's the government of the day.
Well, also, but how's it different than hauling TVNZ down over Judy Bailey's salary and you getting an inquiry as an MP, so you're sort of hauling them down for an inquiry? What's the difference?
It's a huge difference for a start. It's Parliament, not the government. It's held in public, not behind closed doors. We don't get to appoint the board, the government does. I've got no ability to influence who's on the board of TVNZ. I can't sack them. Alan Clark can. So there is that difference.
You don't think that the board might be scared that Rodney Hyde will haul them in and change their decisions because of that?
Oh, I hope they are a bit scared of Rodney Hyde. I'd be disappointed if they were.
Just with TV3.
By the way, that's when I say scared, I mean my experience of government departments and bureaucracy and state-owned enterprises is that they do run with a lack of accountability, and they are a bit worried about what I'll ask and what I'll know and what they've done. And I think that's as it should be, because there needs to be a discipline. Now, I don't use that in a wild way, but you know, if this was a private company, I mean, it would never have got to this.
But where's all this money that's being wasted by TVNZ, all these taxpayers' dollars?
Well, $300,000 for Ian Fraser doing what? That's a good start.
But aren't they making a profit? Don't they give back money as a dividend?
They used to.
Well, they did last year.
Well, their dividend has just fallen by, what, over $20 million.
Yeah, but it's still in credit.
Yeah, but you've got it's actually a loss if you're not getting a return on the capital. And so there was an organisation that was worth $1 billion you look at the return that the shareholders would be expecting over time for an asset that's worth $1 billion, it's a lot more than what that company's returning. And would it worry me if it was privately owned and it wasn't returning a dividend? No, not at all. That would be the shareholders' responsibility. As I am, I'm responsible to the taxpayers of New Zealand. Every mum and dad in the country's got an investment in TVNZ.
Okay, but where are the Maori Pacific Island minority interest programs on TV3?
Well, and your point is?
Well, my point is I was listening to you on the radio the other day and you were talking about New Zealand On Air would be the funder and stuff, but I'm just wondering if you had two privately owned companies, whether or not they're just buying more friends and play that. So why New Zealand On Air would actually become redundant?
Well, they might well buy in
so
more
there's
friends. If that's what people want to watch. And I don't know why you don't think Maori people watch Friends, they actually do. And so do Asian people and so do Pacific Island people, and they actually enjoy it.
I was talking about your point about New Zealand.
At the extent that the government is sitting here and they want some feel-good show on for themselves and for the people that they think what people should be watching, then they can, in a transparent and accountable way, they can say, well, okay, the taxpayer's going to take this money, we're going to allocate it across to New Zealand On Air, and they're going to buy it. And TV3 and TVNZ, if it's privatised, they'll sit at it, and they'll say, well, gee whiz, that's worth doing, because we're going to get the lolly from the taxpayer. And that's open, and it's accountable. What you have with TVNZ is a complete failure of accountability, because they're getting money, first of all, through New Zealand On Air. Second of all, they're getting money for the charter, $12 million a year.
Why do you have a problem with TVNZ getting money through New Zealand On Air? I don't quite understand the argument that you privatise it, New Zealand On Air still exists to get money to a private company. I don't quite understand that. New Zealand On Air should...
Well, maybe you're not very bright. I don't know. I don't know how many times I've got to say it. What I'm saying is that you have a privately owned company, and New Zealand On Air can fund via the government, via the taxpayer, that public good programs that it wants. What you've got now is New Zealand On Air plus $12 million a year because of the charter, plus a very depressed dividend. Now you've got three streams of money going into TVNZ plus government advertising. Now put aside government advertising because presumably that's going to play across TV3 and TVNZ. Well, why should you have three diverse streams of funding for TVNZ which serve dramatically to diminish accountability? And you could say, okay, run the damn thing as a commercial concern, getting a return on the asset, being professionally managed, and to the extent that we want programs, we'll buy it. Same as Maori Television, it was a joke.
Well, that's where I come back to the minority interest programs, because you said, you know, New Zealand On Air, but TV3 does not have those same programs that are funded by New Zealand On Air. They don't have the minority interest program. So I'm saying it doesn't bother me, but would it bother you that you wouldn't have the Willie Jackson Eye to Eye, you wouldn't have the Mariah?
It would bother me because I go on Eye to Eye quite a lot, and I actually do watch Mariah when I'm home. And but I mean, that's why we have New Zealand On Air.
We have New Zealand On Air, and TV3 doesn't play them, is my point. So would that
because
be concerned?
Does that mean just, well,
what because it's a commercial imperative. You know, I've worked in broadcasting, and they say, well, we don't think Mariah's going to break, so we're not going to put it on. We're not going to take any of that commercial risk. That's why the state broadcaster takes that risk.
Well, that what you're saying to me then is New Zealand On Air isn't paying enough. So what you're then telling me is that there's a fourth inherent subsidy in TVNZ. I hadn't realised it. So the money that New Zealand On Air isn't giving isn't enough for TVNZ, and so they're playing stuff that no one watches. And I mean, what's wrong with the discipline that, yes, okay, here's the total subsidy to TVNZ or to TV3, and what's wrong with the discipline that people should watch it, and to the extent that they're not watching it, but it's a minority interest, we want to see it on our TV, well, it seems a bit odd, we want to see it, but no one's watching, and that it actually be explicit. I mean, what you've got with TVNZ is zero accountability now.
Well, just wrapping up, do you think there'd be more diversity, though, if you had two private organisations?
Oh. Hell yes. Look at the diversity that's occurring now in New Zealand. Look at the diversity that's occurring through Sky. We actually have 7 Asian channels, TV channels, in New Zealand. I go on Chinese TV in New Zealand regularly. When the state used to control it, you couldn't start a private TV station. I've been on 2 Christian TV channels operating out of Auckland. I understand now there's Indian TV, which I've appeared on. All of them privately held.
So you've got a bit of a broadcasting background there.
No.
Well, you did work for BBC World Service as an intermediary.
It's just a full-in job.
Well, there, that was Lindsay Perigo was running a show, and on that show they said, after a while, I think they had some lefties, and then they said, no more lefties. So was that the example of...
I have no idea what Lindsay Perigo
had. Well, according to Deborah Cottage's book, it was no more lefties was the crime.
I don't know what Lindsay Perigo said or didn't say.
Right, so...
But, I mean, on a private TV station or a private radio station, you can say what you like. I mean, if the Indian Channel wants to run Indian shows, they're perfectly entitled to. And the interesting thing about this, Kevin, is that you actually get diversity in a free market.
But you do get diversity.
You don't get the diversity when you have a state broadcaster for years and years and years. The government opposed diversity. In order to get a radio station going, you had to hop in a boat and travel out offshore, and the state was busy with policemen trying to catch you if you wandered in. It took years and years and millions of dollars to get a private TV station up. And thank God we have got TV3, otherwise we would have nothing to measure TVNZ against. Look what's happened to Sky, and I know that people that think they know what New Zealanders like to watch and listen look down their noses at Sky and the fact that it's a fee for service. But overwhelmingly, my observation is, as low-income people, middle-income people get Sky because they love it.
Well, Sky's owned by Rupert Murdoch. Would it surprise you that 175 of Rupert Murdoch's biggest newspapers, their editorials were all for the Iraq War? I mean, where's the diversity there?
Well, actually...
Well, was that just an amazing coincidence that 175 editors agreed with what
Rupert Murdoch said? Well, they were sensible people. But open your eyes. Open the eyes to the diversity that's occurring on Sky that you would not have if it wasn't for the investment of Rupert Murdoch and others in Sky. I mean, if we just had and the investment of Can West in TV3, and I mean, I don't know, if you want to see state broadcasting at its best, you know, go to North Korea or what was Russia. I mean, it's shocking there's nothing diverse about that. And what's wrong with someone who wants to? I've been to Nelson and there's a guy running a TV channel out of his front bedroom. What's wrong with that?
No, just on Sky, you asked a question of the Minister, Tony Ryle, which I was just wondering whether you think this is...
Tony Ryle, it's going back.
It is going back, but this is here's Rodney Hyde, 1999. Has the Minister a concern that, according to the New Zealand Herald, those directors on the behalf of taxpayers, given the second bid, appear to have lost over $7 million in taxpayers' money, and that was in relating to TVNZ flogging off its Sky shares for $2.75. This shares are now worth $6.50. That must have cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And what I'm wondering is, you have these inquiries over Susan Wood, when this looks to be like...
What was that question?
The question you're asking about how they look to have lost over $7 million of taxpayers' money through flogging off their Sky shares cheaply.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those shares were doubled in price in a year and a half or so, and I think they've tripled now.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have given TVNZ revenue for years if they'd kept them.
It was a bloody good question then, wasn't it?
It was a bloody good question. And that, well, what I'm asking is, when you look at, do you think that if you're going to have an inquiry into TVNZ, you need to actually look at all of those sort of decisions like that as well? Just the Susan Wood.
Oh, look, I'm not just looking at Susan Wood. I mean, of course not. In fact, you know, I think that's a symptom of the problem, to be honest. And I mean, it's the headline, if you like. It's the motivator for an inquiry, but it's not my particular concern. I think that's a symptom. We've had a whole series of poor decisions, poor leadership, and I wouldn't try and second guess whether those shares should have been sold or not sold. I mean, that's not my particular interest.
But that's $100 million failure. I mean,
but isn't that great that there I was back in 1999 on the case, doing the job?
Well, it wasn't a patsy question, was it? You were in government with the National Debt.
No, not 99, but I was busy with the IRD inquiry, you will imagine. I got the FEC to inquire into the IRD. I couldn't get them to do everything. I'm just one MP.
Exactly. Oh, thanks very much for your time there, Ronnie. So you will be giving those sort of areas a good looking into, will you?
What's that?
The sort of culture of extravagance of the 90s as well, seeing if they're still lingering around.
Well, we gave them a good going over in the, I think it was the Commerce Committee.
You gave them a good going over a number of times.
Yeah, and they assured us that the culture of extravagance had come to an end.
We'll find out. Thanks very much.
Good on you.